Thank you, Reagan, for reading the word to us this morning. Well, Jonathan at camp, I'm flying solo up here, so I'll need all of your help as much as we can. If you'd like to stand, please do so now. Lift our voices and hearts to the Lord in praise.
Days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. These are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword. Still we are voice in the desert cries, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. These are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in your world. And we are the laborers in the vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah, 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 there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
every blessing to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of gladness praise. Teach me some melodious song sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Come to wander, Lord, I feel it. Come to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
For you are my rock.
righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. There is none like you. There is none. 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 There is none like you.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful song. We all bow down.
Princes and paupers, sons and daughters, kneel at the throne of grace. Losers and winners, saints and sinners, one day we'll see His face, and we'll all bow. Surrender their crowns and worship Jesus. He is the love, unfailing love. He is the love of God. And the rivers whisper the Savior's name. Awesome and holy, a friend to the lonely, forever His love will reign, and we'll all bow down. Kings will Jesus.
I was searching for a communion meditation for the 4th of July and found the ideal one. Don't know who it was written by, but it's entitled From Memorial to Freedom Day. On Memorial Day a few weeks ago, we remembered fallen heroes. In a few short weeks, we have gone from Memorial Day to Freedom Day. But even now, as July 4th is here, the nightly news keeps us painfully aware of our fallen heroes. There may be one or more that each of us knew personally, either from as far back as World War II or from the more current conflicts. I'm sure that we will all agree that the fallen heroes deserved to be remembered. In 1915, Moynihan Michael, inspired by the poem In Flanders Field, contributed a short poem that led to the wearing poppies in honor of those who died. And the poem goes like this. We cherish, too, the poppy red that grows on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never dies. It is appropriate that we connect Memorial Day with its remembrance of fallen heroes to Independence Day and its celebration of freedom, primarily because there is a direct connection between fallen heroes and our freedom. The PBS Memorial Day broadcast from the Capitol steps was all about fallen heroes. Today's broadcast on the 4th of July, also from the Capitol steps, will be all about celebration, freedom, and victory, capped off with brilliant fireworks. For us who call ourselves Christians, it is particularly appropriate that we gather at the communion table today and focus on a fallen hero whose life was given in the greatest battle ever fought and whose blood, as the poem says, never dies. Every human war ever fought is simply a microcosm of the deeper, greater spiritual war that goes on behind the scenes. As Paul says in Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of the wickedness in heavenly places. We are still engaged in this struggle, and we come today to remember and to celebrate the fallen hero who won the decisive battle. It's been said that every war has a decisive battle. In the Second World War, the decisive battle came on D-Day and the successful invasion of France. While many battles were yet to be fought, the war was essentially won at that time. There were many fallen heroes on the beach whose sacrifice ultimately led to victory. Crucifixion Day was the decisive battle, and Resurrection Day was the ultimate victory. They go together. Our hero fell, but rose again, enabling Paul to say in Romans 5:10, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having the reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Reconciled by his death, saved by his life. Death in all of this world's sin and evil met its match on Calvary when Jesus Christ became our fallen and then our risen hero. Now at this table, we celebrate the freedom that was won for us by him, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come humbly to your communion table. We thank you for that sacrifice that you made for us, that we certainly don't deserve your grace, but you gave it anyway, and you paved the way for us after this life is over to join you in heaven. And we just thank you for that sacrifice. We thank you for these emblems right now, and we just ask a blessing on each and every one that partakes. Thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you.
This morning I want to share a piece of scripture from the book of Psalms. Being that today's Independence Day, like I said, it's kind of neat that it falls on a Sunday this year, that we get to worship the creator of freedom and the author of freedom. I really appreciate the psalmist's words in Psalms 33. Just remember, we are so blessed as a nation because what God has done for this country. And I just want to take a look. We're going to read the whole Psalm 33 this morning. And I'm just going to remind us this morning of what a nation that has been blessed by God looks like or should look like in the eyes of God. So let's read Psalms 33 together. It's not very long. It says, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you." I can't help but think or imagine that our founding fathers, the men that put our nation together and formed it and laid out our Constitution, laid out our Declaration of Independence, I can't help but think they had to have read these words in Scripture. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I think that most, if not all of us, would agree that our nation, the United States of America, has been blessed. Has been blessed in so many different ways. We have been blessed materially, geographically. We have been blessed educationally, technologically. This country has seen blessing after blessing after blessing from God on high. Today we are reminded again that our freedom comes with a very high, high price. Men and women throughout the history of our country have given their lives to make this country what it is. For our independence. It was this way from the very beginning. I read an article, an amazing article, that said out of the 56 guys who signed the Declaration of Independence, out of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, five of them were captured and tortured by the British before they died. 12 of them had their homes ransacked and burned to the ground. Two of them lost their sons in the war. One of them had two sons who were captured. Nine of them fought and died from wounds or the hardship of war. Carter Braxton of Virginia, who was a wealthy planter and trader, he saw his ships swept from the seas by the British Army, and he sold his home to pay his debts, and he died a poor man. Thomas McKean was forced to move his family almost constantly because he was so hounded by the British. He served in Congress without pay and died in poverty. We don't see that today. Thomas Nelson's home was seized by the British at the Battle of Yorktown and used as a command post. He urged General George Washington to open fire on it. The home was destroyed and Nelson died bankrupt. Scripture is not silent about nations. We learn that God is greater than all the nations. No matter how high a nation thinks they are, no matter how great a nation thinks they are, our God is greater. The nations come and the nations go. The fact that God uses nations as part of his plans is incredible. And that the people from all nations, will be part of his kingdom. For all people in all nations who cry out and call on the name of Jesus, they will be part of the great kingdom of heaven. The great kingdom that will be taken up someday when Jesus Christ comes back and takes home what belongs to him. Perhaps as we celebrate this Independence Day, we ought to consider the real dangers of our blessings with God, that they're not from external conflicts. They're not from great wars and battles. Yes, much was accomplished. Much was sacrificed from men, women, and their families to achieve what was achieved forming this great nation. But without God, we would be nothing. Without God, this nation would not exist. Without God, this nation would not have even been formed. So I would venture to say that a lot of our challenges today aren't coming from external forces or external conflicts like terrorism. Yes, I recognize those evils exist. We live in a fallen world. We are surrounded by evil all the time. But a lot of our conflicts as a nation are internal ones, very much internal, because hearts have been hardened. Hearts have gone against the Word of God. God's Word teaches us specifically what a nation is to do in order to receive and continue to receive the blessings of God. God makes nothing a mystery to man, especially when Jesus came. One of Jesus' ministries was to reveal all the mysteries of God. We have the ability to know him, to see him for who he is. There's nothing mysterious about God through Jesus Christ. And even in the Old Testament, a lot of mysteries are revealed. You want to be blessed as a nation? You want to be blessed as a people? This is how you do it. In Psalms 33, we're reminded that in verse 12, right there, right in the middle of the chapter, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Those are huge words. Blessed. All blessings flow. All blessings, all goodness, all greatness comes from God, the Creator. All blessings. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. As we read this passage, the whole chapter, we see very clearly what it means to be a nation whose God is the Lord. You watch all nations throughout world history, and you even see nations today who are coming to know the Lord, and the Spirit of God is moving in great ways. You are going to see these attributes. You are going to see these men and women who their hearts have been opened, their minds have been opened to the light of Jesus Christ, and they're going to see what needs to be done. You want to be blessed? This is how we're going. This is what a blessed nation looks like. In verses 1 through 3 of our text, you see a people who acknowledge and worship the living God. That word "the" is very important. You see a nation that's blessed, they acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, the one and only Savior, the only way to the Creator, the only way to salvation. And they worship him and they serve him only. They put away the worship of self. They put away the selfish desires and seek out righteousness. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Verses 4 and 6 in our text. You see a people who seek to know and do what the Word of God calls them to do. That is an active thing. You think of what our men and ladies did in the forming of our nations. You can tell these were people who sought out the Word of God. They weren't just being preached to Sunday after Sunday or saying, you know, that's a good idea, that's a good plan. These people read their Bible. These people read the Word of God. They sought out God for instructions. They sought out His Word for wisdom. And they saw what God wanted them to do, and they called to God for instruction on how to form this nation that was going to be free to worship the Lord their God and Him only. Verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. You see a people here who fear the Lord and show Him reverence. These people were not scared of God. We need not fear God in the sense of He's a scary thing out there. But we are to fear Him with respect and with trembling, knowing full well what He can do with us and for us, and what He can also do against any of His foes. He is the most powerful force in the universe. He is the creator of all things. He is the King of kings. He does the amazing things day after day. He breathes life into people every day. He puts thoughts in the minds of man to create and do wonderful things here on earth. He gives us the ability to live in a world that's fallen. And He alone is a jealous God, and He says, I will be worshipped. And if my people won't worship me, nature will. He will be recognized as Lord and the one true God. And these people, the blessed nation, see God as the one power, the one true God in the universe, worthy of our heads to bow before, our knees to bend in front of, and to offer our hearts in worship. Verses 10 through 11, you see a people who seek the Lord's plans, not their own. Boy, there's a big difference in what we see today. When people vote now for government leaders, or we vote for this, or we vote for that, or we want that, it's all about what's best for me, what's best for my family, what's best for my investments, what's best for... Verse 10 through 11 reminds us we're called to be a people who seek the Lord's plans. What does God want? What does God want out of our country? What does God want out of our communities? What does God want out of my family? What does He want out of me as a child of His? Looking to Him for direction in all things. Verses 13 through 15, if you just go on, verse by verse, 13 through 15, you see a people who know that they are accountable to the Lord. He watches them and considers everything that they do. Yes, God has His eye on you. He has His eye on the United States of America. He watches what we do as a people. And we are called to be accountable to Him. It is Him that formed this nation. It is Him who gives power. It is Him who gives wealth. It is Him that gives and gives and gives and offers grace and offers mercy. He and He alone are we to be accountable to as a country, as a nation. To be a nation whose God is the Lord, we must be people who reject all false gods in our country today. And it's easy to say, what are you talking about, Joel? There's not a whole lot of false gods in this country. We worship, a majority of the country that worships, they worship God. Well, we forget sometimes about the God of material wealth. We forget about the God of worldly pleasure. We forget about the God of worldly approval. We're to reject these gods. The God of physical appearance, He runs rampant in our country today. The God of power and the God of influence. We like to bend our knees. As a country, we like to bend our knees to these false gods. And boy, the first 15 verses in our text this morning, you see a people who recognize there's only one God. A nation that is blessed. A nation whose God is the Lord. Sees one true God. One way to the Father. That's through Jesus Christ. It's not that which you call God. It's not there's many ways. If you're a good this or a good that or you do. Jesus made very clear. There is absolute truth. And the absolute truth is, I, Jesus, am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's only one way to the Father, and that's through Him. Calling on His name. Accepting the gift of forgiveness. Accepting the gift of grace. Being baptized in His baptism. And starting a new life. Being a new creation formed by God's hands and His Spirit Himself. So blessed is the nation in verse 12, whose God is the Lord. Second in verse 5. Verse 5 tells us, blessed is the nation that seeks righteousness. Verse 5 says, the Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love. Proverbs 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 12 says, the nations and kingdoms which will not serve the Lord will perish. They will be utterly ruined. Righteousness is about doing what is right, not sinning. It is about serving the Lord. Blessed is the nation that seeks righteousness. Daily going out and finding out, reading in the Word, finding from God His plan, allowing God to reveal to you what is right and what is wrong. We live in a country now that is so mixed up and so confused. We talked a little bit in Sunday school this morning where sin is actually being celebrated now in all areas of the world and especially in our nation today, where sin has become the norm. Men and women living together outside of marriage. Homosexuality being celebrated. Abortion being celebrated as a woman's right to do whatever she wants with her body. Forgetting that all life is created by God. And we've become so self-seeking, we have forgotten that the people that formed this country sought righteousness. You read the Constitution, you read the Declaration of Independence. These were people that were seeking out right, trying to do what was right in the eyes of God, declaring that all men and women and children are equal in the eyes of God, all of them created in the image of the one true God, to have certain unalienable rights just by being children of God and created by Him. This is why we have to pray for our leaders, that they will serve the Lord and do what is right. And I know that sometimes can feel so far away. But we are still called today. Whether you like them, love them, or hate them, God and God alone puts men and women in power. We are called to pray for our leaders, our local leaders, all the way to our federal leaders. Pray. Pray that their hearts would be softened. Pray that they would someday serve the one true God, and do what is right, because it is God's way and not just politically correct. That they would seek what God wants, not what is just politically correct or not going to offend people. Because let me tell you, God offends people. Jesus offended people. When He preached, love your enemy, that was offensive to people. When He said, pray for your enemy, that's offensive to people. When He said, I'm going to offer grace to all people, all sinners of all shapes and forms, that was offensive to people. We need to pray that God will raise up men and women in our country that will lead with the idea that they're going to seek out righteousness in all things. Biblical principles about righteousness are these. We are not righteous by nature because we are sinners. Righteousness does not come out of our human nature. We do not become righteous just by doing what is good. We know that's not true. We are made righteous through Jesus Christ. Those who have given their hearts over to Jesus to transform and to change from the inside out is how we become a righteous individual and how we are going to become a righteous nation again. By hearts, more and more hearts being transformed by the transformation power of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We will be the salt and the light that the world desperately needs to see. We will show the way to hope. We will light up the path to Jesus Christ. Boy, if we want to continue to be a nation that is blessed by God, we have to lead in the running after righteousness, doing what is right, no matter what the rest of the world says or how offensive it may seem, to show the world that right is right, wrong is wrong, and God is love. The third thing that we see in our text, verse 21, there at the end, we see a blessed is the nation that trusts in God. And we started that way. It's right there on our money. And God, we trust. You cannot pass a dollar bill in our country without seeing the words, in God we trust. Verse 20, so in him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. A nation who is truly blessed by God sees God for who he is, what he does, and they trust him on all levels. Psalms 20, verses 6 through 7 says, some nations boast of armies and of weaponry, but our boast is in the Lord our God. Those nations will collapse and they're going to perish. We will arise to stand firm and sure. Our forefathers, they read that. They had to have read it. You see it in our government documents. I was talking about in Sunday school this morning. I didn't realize this, but I read about it. All 50 of our state constitutions, every one of them, mention God in them. Mention trust in God in their constitutions. All 50 states. So what do we put our trust in as a nation? What have, after 200 plus years as being the United States of America, we have gone from trusting in God for all things. What do we trust for? What do we trust today as a nation? Do we trust our military? We trust our intelligence? We trust our technology? We trust our history? All of those are good things. God has blessed us with all those things. That's not where we're to put our trust in. All those things will fail at one time or another. No military on the face of the earth is perfect. No intelligence is perfect. We know that for sure. No technology goes without fail. Men and women have died all over our country because of technology failing. And our history sure shows us we can't put our trust in people. According to Scripture, blessed is the nation whose trust is in the Lord and Him alone. That trust has to be more than a slogan on our currency on a daily basis. It has to be present dependence upon the Lord. That has to daily happen. For his people to know, I will put my trust and my complete dependence is on you, Jesus. No matter what goes on around the world around me, no matter how things seem to be falling apart, I know that you are on your throne. I know that you honor me because I honor you, and you will do best for your people. We are called to trust in the name of the Lord God, Jesus, and him alone. So this morning, what can we as his people do for the future blessing of America? I want to finish with three quick things. We can live for Christ. You want to continue to be a blessed nation? You want to continue to pray for your nation to be blessed by God? It starts with us, God's holy people. Live for Christ every day. Be salt and light no matter where God has planted you. Second, pray. Pray every day. Pray for our leaders and get on your hands and knees and pray for revival in our country. I'm not talking just a good church revival where we sing a bunch of good songs, have a good speaker, and everybody feels good about themselves after a weekend of revival. I'm talking a true revival in our country where men and women will get on their knees and recognize Jesus Christ as Lord. And God alone has the power to do that. God can and will, when his people get on their knees and beg for a revival in their land. God says, I'll move. My people act, I'll move. You're seeing that happening in all over the world right now. It's not happening in America, but we're seeing it in the Far East. People are coming to know Jesus Christ by the thousands because his holy people are asking for it. These are in countries where it's against the law to preach the name of Jesus. And people are coming to Jesus by the thousands, in Asia especially right now. The last thing, we can depend on the Lord for our true source of freedom, courage, and spiritual power. That's where all that comes from. It comes from no government. It comes from no military. As great as our military is, as wonderful as our men and women who serve every day all over the world, our dependence has to be on the Lord for our true source of freedom, our true source of courage, and especially our true source of spiritual power. I want to tell you all, may you have a wonderful 4th of July weekend celebration. I don't know how you're celebrating this weekend. My family's serving over at church camp with a bunch of fun campers. Enjoy your weekend, and may we all make Jesus our Savior, our Lord. And may everybody seek righteousness and trust in the Lord for our lives, each and every day, for our families and for our country. And it all starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't currently know him as Lord, if you haven't given him full possession of everything that you are, I invite you to do that this morning. To stand before the world, come forward and stand before the world and acknowledge before God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe he is the Son of God. I have believe he has the power to transform my life and give me a hope eternal in him and him alone. If you need to make that decision today, we invite you to do that. For the rest of us, pray. Pray without ceasing. As we celebrate this great country that we live in today, know that it was founded on the principles of God by men and women who looked at him for all great things. Let's stand together and let's sing America this morning.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's cry, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Our fathers, God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King.